Today's scripture reading will be Matthew chapter 24, verse 9 to 14. It says, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from faith and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of weakness, the love of most will grow cold, and he who stands firm will be saved. To the end will be saved, and his gospel will be of the kingdom will be preached in the whole nation, in the whole world, as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." Let us have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us today. And to hear about your words, and thank you for guiding us every one of us to the church today. And as we sit down to here today to listen to your word, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to help the pastor to give us the right message, and for everyone to live here knowing a little bit more about you and to work in the right way. As I'm praying today, I also want to remember all those people around the world who are living difficult moments, Christians who are being persecuted for having faith, and also those who don't even have the right to reach to your word. As we're going to track salvation today, I also ask you to open the hearts of those who are passing through our way, and to have the purpose and rhythm. I finish by saying that I want to thank what you have done for each and every one of us in this year, and as we are about to finish this year, I ask you to guide us and to help all those people around the world. In Jesus Christ's blessed name, I pray. Amen.
I'm sure most of you know the hymn, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." These words sound so harmless and easy to sing in our churches, at least for now. But for more than 200 million followers of Jesus Christ, these words mean total commitment of their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. The words, "I have decided to follow Jesus," mean putting everything on the line, everything, even their lives. These words were written about 150 years ago, during a time of deadly persecution against Christians in northeastern India. The composers of the song, two brothers named Ramke and Obed, were the first converts of the Garo tribe. They both died as martyrs for Christ. They decided to follow Jesus and did not turn back. Today, believers just like them are making the same choice and facing the same consequences, writes Harvest Partner, a little magazine. International statistics show that at least or estimated 150,000 followers of Christ are martyred every year. 150,000 born again followers of Jesus Christ are being murdered every year. Did you know that? Yeah, we hear it from time to time. But do you know that for every Christian martyr, there is a family? There are others who suffer. In the US, here in Canada, and in Europe, we have it easy. these young people came to Montreal, visited the old Montreal, and wherever they went, and no one stopped them, even if they would be carrying a Bible. That is for now. But the time is coming that things will change in the world, and already have been changing. More than 200 million Christians are restricted from living out their Christian faith. More and more countries are making it very difficult for Christians to live out their faith and restrict them from gathering freely and even ban the Bible. You say, why are you talking about these people? Because the evangelicals, or those who are born again believers, or those who are followers of Jesus Christ, have been talking about and reminding us that this weekend should be a remembrance day, and there is a week given to for us, or they are asking us to pray for them. We forget them because we have an easy life. Here in North America, believism is cheap and easy. Cheap, easy believism. I mean, you come to the front, you make your little prayer, the sinner's prayer, and then you go home, continue your life, everything is fine. But not in these countries. I asked this morning at our adult Bible class, how many countries do you think are persecuting Christians? Well, someone said 15, 16, someone else said 76. Actually, there are more than 70 countries that are forbidding Christians to worship God, take the Bible. And yet, I reminded us that there are more born-again believers, and I am emphasizing born-again because it makes a big difference. When I call Christians in general, there are 2 billion, over 2 billion who claim to be Christians, and yet there is a much smaller number that are followers of Jesus Christ. And I said that the largest number of the born-again devoted, those people, saved people, or who have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, is not in Canada for sure. Not in Quebec. Quebec's number of believers, born-again believers, is 0.07%. Not even 1%. Not in Canada. Canada is not a Christian country. Not in the U.S. Not in Europe. In China, where there is a lot of persecution. And in other countries where the Bible is restricted, where Christians are being restricted. I received an email from Armenia, where I visited about a month or so ago. And the brethren were asking us to pray because the government now is trying to pass a bill that will forbid outreach and evangelism. Now, Armenia was the first nation in the world that accepted and made Christianity the state religion. The Declaration of Human Rights, enshrined in Article 18 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which has been accepted and used by many countries, says, and I quote, "Everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This right includes freedom of change, to change his religion or belief, and freedom either alone or in community with others and in public or private to manifest his religion or belief in teaching, practicing, worshiping, and observing." Yet, this article has not stopped severe human rights violations in over 70 countries where persecution of Christians is worse. For example, on March 2010, some 500 Christians were murdered in the night by rampaging religious gangs near the city of Jos in Nigeria. 500. A 34-year-old pastor of a church in Iran who had converted from Muslim was branded an apostate and sentenced to death. Reports of Evangelical Fellowship of Canada dated October 2011. This is a report in that little magazine. A teacher in the UK, was suspended after offering to pray for a student. That's in the United Kingdom, England. One of every home for Christ workers in Bangladesh knocked on a door that happened to be the home of a radical religious group. When they learned that he was a follower of Jesus, they attacked and beat him severely. History shows that the persecution of the 20th century were the most severe in the history of the church. On September 9, 1922, 120,000 Greeks died in Smyrna alone. In 1916, over 1.5 million Armenian Christians were killed by the Young Turks. The Aramaic-speaking Assyrian Christians were greatly afflicted. According to the U.S. State Department, Christians in over 60 countries faced realities of massacre, rape, torture, mutilation, family division, harassment, imprisonment, slavery, discrimination in education and employment, and even death. Hundreds of thousands of people today are suffering and killed because they are followers of Jesus Christ. David B. Byrd, in his book Today's Martyrs, he states that in this year alone, approximately 165,000 Christians will die because of their faith in Jesus Christ. According to Byrd, more than 43 million Christians have been martyred already. We are living today in unusual and terrifying times, while the church appears to be in decline, and many local churches are closing down in North America and Europe. The church worldwide is growing at an enormous rate. The Holy Spirit today is moving in places that were closed at one time, and many are still closed today, bringing in numbers never seen today in the history of the church. The church today is growing three times faster than ever before. It is reported in China and in India alone, more than 6,000 new converts will be added today. This number will be even greater tomorrow. History teaches and our experience today confirms that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. While evil men and impostors are busy deceiving and inventing new and more evil ways to attack and persecute the church, the invisible universal church, the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit adding the new members to it. And because the church is a living body and every part of the body belongs and has a part in the mission and functioning of the body of Christ, we as members of the same body must be concerned for each other. In Romans 12, verse 5, we read, So in Christ we are many, who are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. For we are members, and then in Ephesians 5:30 we read, for we are members of his body. Jesus said that persecution will be inevitable for his followers. He said in John 15, verse 20, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn. While the world rejoices, you'll grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Please tell me that this is what is being preached today from the pulpit. Please tell me that we are telling the people who come to church. Please tell me that these great televangelists and those big writers are telling to those who want to become followers of Christ, wait a minute, do you know that there is a price to pay? Do you know what that price is? The price is you have to give up everything you have, deny yourself, pick up my cross and follow me. Are you willing to do it? And if you're not willing to do it, then please look for another religion. And when the Holy Spirit opens the eyes of the sinner, that sinner is willing, more than willing, to surrender his or her life to the Lord and deny himself or herself and follow Christ. That is until he goes to church. And then when he goes to church, he sees the pastor and the elders and the deacons and the other Christians living a different life in the church and different life outside. Then he says, oh, that's cool, I can do it. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, and I repeat, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. That's exactly what these Christians are doing in India and in China and in many other countries. They are weeping, but they are willing to suffer. But they are feel it an honor to be imprisoned. They feel it's an honor to be looked at as a weird person, because we are a peculiar people. If we sound like the worldly people, if we walk like the worldly people, if we act like the worldly people, if we smell like the worldly people, if we do everything like everybody else does, then what is the difference of being a born-again believer? Oh, yes, I know. If we are born again, that means that we accepted Jesus and we said, he is my Lord and Savior. Now I have this passport. I'm going to put it in my pocket. And then I'm going to continue my life until I go to the doors and say, this is my passport. And then someone will say, just a moment, please. He'll open a book and say, no, your name is not written here. Now, if I say these things, this message is being recorded and will be on the website. And people will maybe listen to it and say, he is a weird person. That's what they said about Jesus. That's what they said about the apostles. That's what they said about the Christians who burned them on the stake. That's what they said about the Christians who threw them to the lion. And yet, they died with a smile because they could see the glory of God. All we see today in our Western society is entertainment. Entertainment in the church, entertainment at home, entertainment everywhere. And if it sounds good and if it turns us on, our brain is happy, we will go back to the church. But if the church says, something that we don't really like, we'll find another church. Apostle Paul reminds the Christians about their persecuted brethren in Hebrews 13:3. But you may say, we are not being persecuted here in Canada, in the States. That's what you think. Why should we be concerned or worry? Why? Because the danger is real here too. Evangelical Fellowship of Canada has been trying to reach the lawmakers, to protect some of the pastors that are being persecuted here in Canada. In the United States, the same thing. In Europe, it's the same thing. In England, I was reading some reports, how many Christians have been persecuted and prosecuted for their faith. The church and true believers here in North America are being attacked by the same enemy, Satan. Only here, he appears as an angel of light. Here, the enemy is more subtle. Many Christians lose their interest and their love for Christ, and the gospel has no effect in their lives because the enemy has compromised the message. Instead of being burned or shut down by the enemies of Christ, churches are torn down by Satan's false prophets and their followers. You say, false prophets? Well, anyone who does not preach the truth preaches a lie. Anyone who does not focus on Jesus is focusing on someone else. Anyone who does not put Christ first in his or her life, in the life of the church, anyone who worships a person somewhere on a pedestal because he is one of the best preachers, the teachers. He may be a fine pastor and preacher and an evangelist, and yet if your heart is not nailed on the cross, if your eyes are not looking at Jesus, then you have already made a false god for yourself. Those in India, those in other countries, those in our country who are willing to give up their freedom and their life have one thing that makes them be who they are: Jesus. Not their doctrine, not their church, not their religion, but Jesus, God Himself. And when you are connected with Jesus, when you are plugged into the source of power, then you are living. These trees have been the same for the past 20 years. Never grow, nothing. They are plastic trees. And I've used this example before. And I believe there are millions of plastic Christians who look like Christians. Sometimes they act like Christians, but they are plastic. The Holy Spirit is not there. It's like the valley of the dry bones, where these bones were spread all over the place. And God spoke to the prophet and said, speak to these bones. Well, the world is a place of dry bones today. And the word of God is coming to the dry bones. And these dry bones are standing up. And many, many people are standing up to the call for Christ. And yet, unless the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes into these dry bones, they will remain dry bones. They will remain plastic Christians. What we need is the Holy Spirit to come and give us that breath and look at our wife and our husband and children and house and everything and say, thank you, God, for blessing me so much, and yet you come first. At heart, the young person who came to Jesus and said, I would like to follow you, teacher, because you are a great teacher. And Jesus said, okay, that's fine. But first go and sell all your stuff that have bound you, chained you down, and then come and follow me. Oh, he says, that I cannot do. That's exactly what many Christians do. They, the persecuted Christians, are facing enemies that they can see, but they cannot fight or run away from. They see their enemies. They are there torturing them. They see them, but they cannot run away from them. They are trapped. They are imprisoned. We are facing enemies that very often we cannot see, choose not to see, or even welcome the enemy into our lives and churches, not realizing that the enemy of the martyrs is our enemy too, and its mission is to conquer and destroy the church. Apostle Paul, at the end of his letter to the Hebrews, he said, "Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore." Let us then go to the outside, to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. Hebrews 13:3. We are members of the body of Christ. Their pain, their burdens must be our concern too. In Galatians 6:2, we read, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will be fulfilling the law of Christ." Let us remember them in our prayers and help those who are helping them. I would like to ask you, to ask us all, please to bow our heads, and for about a minute, to remember those who are in prison, those who are suffering, and also pray and thank God for our freedom, which will be coming to an end, I believe. Let's pray.
In heaven, we join our brothers and sisters in their suffering this morning. Even though we are remembering them and we praying for them, we know that you only can help them. You only can save them. You only can give them the courage and the strength to go through what they are going to. We pray this morning for those pastors and your followers who are in prison. We pray for those families, the wife or children of imprisoned brothers. We pray for the churches and those who are being persecuted. Please have mercy on them, and may they be a light wherever they are, and help us to surrender completely our lives to you. In your blessed name I pray, amen.